added out, you leave the studio for a few seconds and then suddenly, ooh, it says, ooh, I'll just put this on as well. Don't worry, life continues its own merry way. You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Midweek Drive Morning Edition, 17 minutes and 20 seconds past 9 o'clock on Thursday the 2nd of April. And who have we got online to present Sue Rice?
I think it might be the lovely Emma Tinson.
The lovely Emma Tinson. Is that right? Emma Tinson, are you with us?
Yes, indeed.
Good morning, Emma.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you all in the studio? Are you missing me?
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you recognise that voice, but it seems to me a little bit too over-eager in terms of, oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You can never beat a bit of, oh, yes, at 9 in the morning.
Yeah, he's already choked with emotion. He nearly spat out his water across the studio. Lord knows what could happen. It's turmoil in here, honestly. Less fun than a barrel load of chicks in all sorts of ways, or Easter scenarios there. Anyway, Roy Orbison, Oh Pretty Woman, the remix version with Jason Mraz creeping into that sort of side of there.
Yeah, that was an interesting mashup.
Did you hear that? Yeah.
You should know, Alex, where I am, chaos inevitably follows. So.
More effort you put into something, more chaos you ultimately cause. So there we are. That's the official line on that. So, Lara the Light Rosemary Smith, you haven't listened to the programme, but unlike Rosemary J. Smith, you haven't listened to the programme not because you've been busily working doing various other things. It's because you're too tired. You've shifted down to Surrey and it's too early in the morning.
I know. Well, I went out to see some friends last night. And mistakenly, we weren't out that late, actually, but we had a few drinks at our local tavern. And then when that closed, across the road, there's a lovely pizza shop, which was actually closed, but we convinced them to open it. And then I ate some pizza and then couldn't sleep, which was a bit bad of me, really. So I had a late night.
William Sitwell would like to talk about raw food or anything.
I know. I'm sorry. It's bad, isn't it?
Well, what, raw food?
I don't know. Eating from pizza shops, it's unhealthy.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, every so often, I mean, what's the alternative? Take the healthy option and order in, dial out, you know, get them to deliver to yourself?
Think it's got to be done once in a while.
Yeah.
Each in moderation. Tom's crazy, quirky quizzes. I'm trying to work this whole thing through for no reason. Shall we offer Emma British towns and cities? We will in any case whether she actually wants to be offered it or not, really. British towns and cities, and your clue, Emma, is an alternative to toilet or lavatory. An alternative to toilet or lavatory. Have you got any idea whatsoever as to which British town or city that's referring to? An alternative to toilet
town or city
or lavatory? Yeah.
I have no idea. The first thing that came to mind was Waterloo, but that's not really a town or city.
No, exactly. For some... Yes.
Am I along the right line?
I think you're definitely in the sort of general zone of the whole piece, certainly, yes. Sue might be able to actually sort of work our way through this a couple of stages for her. Yes, Sue?
Could it be Lou in Cornwall?
You know, you're absolutely right. There we are. That's the sort of classic thing. It is indeed Lou in Cornwall. For some reason...
I've never been. I didn't even know
it existed. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I have a painting from an artist hanging in my lounge from Lou. That's why I thought of it.
And you did very well. Clearly, you're going to be an absolute must when we actually start sort of dealing with the author of Tom's crazy, quirky quizzes, Tom Bell, who has been in his life a police officer and a school teacher. Oh. I would have said such things were physically impossible, but never mind. That's what he was actually
doing. I don't know. I think they mash up quite well, actually.
Jared was asking me, Emma, what was countryside links like? Sue gave her opinion that despite the weather, there was lots of happiness and fondness there. Emma, as a Surrey gal, it was only your relatively second experience in terms of countryside matters and country issues. So now you've had a few days to, you know, chill out, relax, think it over, deal with the visit to Hull or the relatives coming from Hull, coming back down to I was going to say Berkshire, Reading, Surrey, one of those places. I know they're all connected together. What are your considered sort of views on countryside links? Do you still wait up, you know, perspiring in the middle of the night thinking, not another donkey, not another donkey?
No, not at all. I really enjoyed it, actually. It was a very nice experience, despite the weather. And I thought it was blooming typical as well, that just after we all got home, the sun
came out. It's wonderful, wasn't it? It's glorious.
But never mind. but no, it was a lovely day, Jared. It was very nice to talk to lots of different people.
Yeah.
Spoke to farmers, local food sources, mm-hmm. and all these different things. And also there was the animal petting, which I think went down very well with everyone.
Jessica
really.
Ward in particular, I think.
Was that a favourite?
I think Jessica was squealing at the bunny rabbits.
The rabbits were absolutely beautiful, and the little Guernsey goats were lovely as well.
Were they large
they
rabbits?
Were lovely.
They had all different sizes of them. They had some guinea pigs, and they had some Dutch lop-eared, and then they had this, well, I don't know what sort it was. It was an enormous rabbit. It was huge. And he just sat there on this little carpet, and you could pick him up and pet him. He was beautiful.
Was he well-behaved?
He was impeccably well-behaved. I've never seen a rabbit so well-behaved. It was almost chilled out to the extent it was horizontal.
Thankfully, we weren't aware that it was actually on any kind of chemical stimulation.
No.
because obviously, just being a rabbit, it could do all sorts of...
It was just fed lots of carrots.
I think it was probably used to being handled a lot, so it didn't mind.
And if you're going to handle your rabbits, you obviously want the ones that can actually cope with being handled by humans and pose for photographs in the most bizarre and surreal ways.
Sweetness!
Is that the rabbit we're referring to? He says he's looking through.
I think Bridget secretly harboured a bit of an ambition to take it home.
That's
she did
the devil's
say,
spawn rabbit.
Yes, so the red eyes.
She did
say, "Oh, Mummy, can we take it home?" And I went, "No, my love, we can't."
Yeah, I mean, you could have taken it home, but obviously then you would have been done for stealing. So it's all part and parcel of the rich tapestry. Now, I think thumbs up very much to Countryside Links, including obviously the archery, which I did the usual routine of, let's do this interview, let's do it right in front of the targets. Silly me, but never mind.
Yes.
That's the whole sort of sequence there. So there we are. That's the rabbits to the fore. So what will you be doing over the next few days, Emma? Is it a case of, well, of course, I'm going to be starting work on my preparation for the dissertation and analysis that works up in level 3. As well as sorting out my shorthand and so on and so forth. Or I'll be chilling out with respect to Easter and so on. What's planned for the Emma Tinson diary?
Well, a bit of both, really. Mm-hmm. Today I'm actually just going to chill out because my mum, I don't know whether it would have been on national news, but there was a fire in London yesterday.
Yes, there was.
And it was on the street that my mum worked, and all the electrical... has been cut out on that street. So she was sent home early from work yesterday and she's been given the day off today. So I'm going to relax with my lovely mum. And then for Easter, I am going off to see my boyfriend for a few days and then seeing some family. And then hopefully somewhere in between, I will be able to do some of my journalism coursework. Okay. So squeezing it all in, really.
Balance.
Got a packed weekend.
Yeah. The ultimate balance in every sense of the word from that point of view, which is always a classic from that aspect. Jared, I don't know if I can trust you with this, but I think, all right, can you, without choking, utter those last two questions? He's been doing very well, but he has, by his own admission, had one or two throat issues.
I went to London at the weekend and I've come back with this terrible cough.
Yeah.
I'm blaming the smog. I'm blaming the smog.
You see? There we are. You know, there's the message there.
Okay.
So, you know, allowing for that, in which we've contextualised the whole thing, go. Last two questions, please.
Has your chat with us this morning lived up to its usual heights, Emma?
It was. It was very lovely and it was very interesting to be a guest on the show.
And have we persuaded you to possibly chat with us again?
I think so. I think I could do that.
Yeah,
I think I could.
To many people, the letters ET signify phoning home, early Drew Barrymore, or cycling over the moon. For midweek drive aficionados, E.T. will always be the Surrey legend that is Emma Tinson.
Or as we like to say, ouch, ouch. Happy Easter, Emma. Have a great time.
Happy Easter.
You're listening to Siren 107.3. Good morning. Time now on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for culinary class and gastronomic gorgeousness with the broadcasting legend, who is William Sitwell.
Dynamism in every sense of the word. William Sitwell, welcome to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Back live again, of course, last week. Ed Wellman pressed the button, and Emma Tinson and Jessica Ward were delighted to hear your dulcet tones talking about a number of times in a week women think about food, and men as well from that point of view. Sue Royce and Jared Johnson are in the studio today, all eager beyond words to actually hear your own wonderful take on raw food.
Speaking of which, if you hear rather a lot of noise, it's a NutriBullet being worked by my team, making their own raw food concoctions.
All right.
Yeah. Do you not have NutriBullets flooding your campus?
No.
Explain to us, folk north of Watford, William. What NutriBullets are kind of working through, and how this is obviously going to be hitting the 21st century large in upcoming.
You obviously didn't read the piece I wrote on food trends in the Times of January.
You're quite right.
It's a juicer, but it's the kind of uber juicer. It's the juicer of all juicers. And it is just the sort of thing, funnily enough, that people use if you go to raw food cafes and restaurants, which are all the rage. I'm amazed. It kind of started in, I think, Los Angeles, and then it kind of came over here for a bit, and it sort of seems to have be setting in. We've got in London, at any rate, quite a few raw food establishments starting. The whole point of, you know, not getting rid of nutrients. It's incredible. I went to this place in there's an area of London called Notting Hill. You may have heard of it. I'm not sure.
Good movie.
There's a place called... terrible movie. That movie should have been called Fulham. But that's another story. But Nama is an amazing raw food restaurant in a sort of shady spot of Talbot Road where they don't... You know, they produce chocolate ganache tarts where there is no melting of chocolate, no cooking. They do sushi dishes. They do... Thai chicken, Thai curries. It's all, there's no meat. I swear I should have said the word chicken. They have Thai curries and they have all sorts of things. It's cold, it's raw, and it's sensationally good. I would imagine in a few years, you know, all these amazing trends will touch your village.
Well, let's ask Sue Royce what you would make of raw food for Bridget, young 7-year-old Bridget. Would she go for raw food?
I certainly would. We've always tried to be quite adventurous with Bridget food-wise on the basis that if they don't, from a very early age, if you don't expose them to these things, that's when you get to sort of 12 and 13 and they're looking at these things thinking, what is that? You know, and they won't try it.
It's not wrapped in a nice, colourful, golden arch sort of thing.
No, we never do the golden arch thing anyway. No, it's banned. That and any other fast food establishment is banned in our house. We just don't do it. I should say, William, I run a 5-acre small holding, so we grow our own food a good lot of the time. So I'm 100% with you as far as the raw food thing is concerned. I'd be really quite interested to go down to that restaurant and have a bit of a bash with that.
Well, you know, it's called Nama, NAMA. I think you might enjoy it. And as someone who grows food, and you know, I'm not sure what you grow, but I'm sure when you see the raw ingredients, you know, there is something magical about it. And I think we can overcomplicate the cooking process and. We all know that the food production process takes us all a long way from the origins, and actually if you're farming and you're much closer to the source of your ingredients, you appreciate the beauty of raw ingredients.
Absolutely.
The goodness and the nutrients they are, and you know that the quicker to the plate, often the tastier it is. I always think with asparagus, the time to pick asparagus is when the pan of water is boiling.
Yes.
That's when you should go and pick it.
I grow my own asparagus, and it's the same with tomatoes. Tomatoes, when you've grown your own tomato, and they are so simple and so easy to do, even if you haven't got anywhere to grow anything. You know, you can grow them in hanging baskets or pots on the patio or balcony, and the moment you take one off the vine and eat it, any other supermarket-bought tomato will pale into insignificance forever and ever and ever, because it's just not the same.
I used to have chickens as well, and the eggs are the same. For some reason, there's just a lovely taste when you know.
And a golden yellowness to them too. Yeah. Yes, there is.
Well, it seems clearly Jared and Sue have joined you, William, in this sort of yes, it rules raw food.
No, we're gonna join a kind of peasant commune where we're just gonna grow our own.
I run one. Yes.
Well, there you go. No, but food culture was. A lot of European food culture, certainly in this country, was actually destroyed with industrialization when we lost the sort of peasant culture. People moved to the cities and embraced technology and embraced things in cans because it was felt, you know, being more exciting. But actually, the Europeans, they didn't really get that industrialization, and people did remain in the countryside. And so, we like peasants because they keep food culture going. So we want more peasants. And a peasant doesn't have to be a sort of squalid, smelly, tramp-like person. You know, we're talking about people who actually, live...
Designer peasants.
Artisans.
Designer peasants.
Artisans.
Artisans.
That's
the word you're
looking for.
You call them that. Exactly. Yeah, modern peasants are artisans. Exactly.
Well, we've just rewritten the vocabulary once again, so artisans are rude. Okay, but we've got a little bit of poignant news coming up next, and I don't know where William's going to go, how he's going to respond to this.
Okay.
He has requested Family of the Year. Sue, of course, you put in a request for Morecambe Wise Bring Me Sunshine. We do have Morecambe Wise Brings Me Sunshine. We have a Family of the Year, but it's The Stairs. We don't have Hero by Family of the Year.
Well, then don't play it.
What?
Simple as that. I thought you were going to tell me, some member of my family or dog had died, and you're just telling me you can't find the song I
it's sometimes
it's
nice all
problems.
Exactly.
First world problems, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yes.
And I don't want to be responsible, William, for your staff at Waitrose and the Waitrose food sort of thinking, oh, he's in a bit of a bad mood now because they didn't play Family of the Year and Hero when he could have had Family of the Year and The Stairs, but obviously Stairs no. Next week he's going to be in Spain.
But do you know what we can do though? Mm-hmm. I'll play it for you. You can't play the songs, I'll play them.
That's what I like.
I think
thinking
that's a
out
round
of
applause.
The box.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yes. Don't bring me problems, bring me solutions.
Once
that's
again.
The new peasant, you see. Well, we're in control.
Clearly. So, the last two questions. Sue, bear in mind, next week is going to be let's see if he can be reached in Spain. Go.
Yeah. So, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today, William?
It's good. I think I'm going to write an article about the new peasant.
Yes, I think.
Artisan.
So. Yeah, artisan, yeah. And will you be joining us again next week, even though you are in Spain?
Who only time will tell, let's
exactly.
see.
We'll try, we'll see what happens.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while.
When Jamie Davidson, the marketing coordinator from Austin Macaulay Publishers, said, would we be interested in doing a little interview with the ace author and creator of Tom's Crazy Quirky Quizzes, of course we said yes, 100% yes. And that's one of the reasons why we can actually welcome the aforementioned former police officer and indeed member of the teaching profession, Tom Bell, to the airwaves now. Tom Bell, welcome. How are you?
Very well, thank you, and that's a very flattering introduction you've given me.
Oh, it's always important to get these messages across, because we were looking at the text itself, and Jared was busily working through that. We've tried some of the questions out with a few people: fruits, vegetables, countries, British birds, occupations, a whole heap of goodies from this point of view. Obvious question to start off with, what gave you that initial thought to say, I'm going to produce a quiz book?
Well, I've regularly been on holidays abroad and purchased little quiz books from bookstores at the airports and tried to do them on the aeroplane, and I've always found them to be very predictable and quite boring, really. So I thought I'd give it a go myself and try and do something different. But it was all meant to be a bit of fun, really. I never actually thought anybody would publish it.
Well, that magical day has obviously happened and been recognised, and Jared Johnson, level one journalist, top soul, you found it quite amazing because you've been working your way through some of these quizzes, have you not, Jared?
I did have a quick look through, and I have to say ever so good, and they're tough questions as well.
Sue Rice managed to correctly identify Lou earlier. Sue, would you like to choose a category of British birds, British animals, furniture items, wildflowers, garden flowers, or male names?
Oh, male names.
Male names you've gone for. Interesting. I'll sort of see that it actually is there. I mean, obviously, feel free to join in on this one, Tom, although I suspect you might sort of have a little bit of an advantage if we actually select the key things that come through. It's fair to say these are kind of cryptic quiz questions that come through. So let's go into the first one, which is question one, of course. This lad doubts you believe in his name. This lad doubts you believe in his name. Now I look at that, I think, where's it going from? This lad doubts you believe in his name. Any thoughts, Sue Royce?
Well, the thought that immediately comes to mind is Jesus, but it is a lad's name.
It's very true. Yeah, that's interesting. Any sort of Jared, your thoughts?
Crikey O'Reilly.
Crikey O'Reilly. No, actually, I see what it is. It's not too far. You're in the right path. She's in the right pathway, isn't she, Tom? With respect to
well, it has got a religious
connotation. Think of resurrection. Think of put hands and feet in terms of that. You know, think of Thomas.
Oh.
This lad doubts you believe in his name. Doubting Thomas.
Doubting Thomas.
Yeah. Oh, it's easy when you know how. But so, Sue, questions for Tom?
Well,
quiz questions are acceptable.
Yeah, okay, quiz questions.
You know, you probably deal with all sorts of things.
Were there any questions that on your research, were there any questions that you thought, no, I can't possibly put that and nobody will get that?
Well, it's an interesting process, having gone through it. I mean, most of the questions in this book are from my own knowledge and life experiences, and I've always been interested in words and plays on words and the English language in general. So the only questions I had to research were when I ran out of things that I couldn't think of myself, and that then involved going to reference books and doing research on the internet. But they are a mixture of clues, cryptic, factual, plays on words, anagrams, and ones that I've described as absolutely crazy. And they're meant to be very challenging and get people to think outside the box, if you like.
Mm. How long did it take you to actually compile it all together?
Well, I did it over a period of time. Some days I would sit down and spend 2 or 3 hours, and then other days I'd probably be fed up with it after about half an hour, but over a period of time I would think it probably took me 3 months.
Wow. And having done it, do you think you might do a second compilation, or is this your lot?
No, I've already done one, and it's sat in front of me. Well, the manuscript's already been typed up. There are some typing errors to rectify, but that will get sorted out. But I've got to wait 6 months until I find out how successful the first one's been, and when I know that, I shall then consider submitting this second one for publication next year.
And Tom, how do you go about getting your work published? You say you didn't expect it to go into publication, so how would someone go about it?
I went onto the internet and looked for publishers, and then obviously, I could have sent the manuscript out to any number of publishers, but I thought, well, I'll just send it to one first and see what reaction I got. And Austin McCauley were the ones that came top of the list that I picked out. So I sent it to them, and I was amazed, in fact, gobsmacked, when they contacted me and offered me a contract to actually publish it.
And is it in printed version, or are you heading off into the digital world as well?
Yeah, it's in paperback. It's available in all major bookstores. It's available online from Amazon. It costs $4.99, and it's also available in ebook form for a Kindle application.
strikes me as ideal for those long trips. It used to be I Spy books and things that were actually around pre-digital age and such. I mean, Sue, would you see this as a notion of a wonderful old-school way of keeping Bridget entertained, for instance?
Yes, I think maybe when she's a little bit older, yes. I mean, like, certainly for my lovely husband and I think we'd quite enjoy picking that to bits on a long journey.
I do like Rivers and Lakes, question 8, far from inferior lake in Canada. It was, of course, far from inferior lake in Canada. Clue is in, I presume it's superior, actually. I haven't even checked the answer on that one. But
probably.
Is it superior if it's a far from inferior lake in Canada? I should see this. Yeah. It's a different. Tom's kept very quiet. He might have sort of said no.
He's letting you have thinking time.
It's there.
Doesn't want to give any spoilers away.
No.
I can appreciate that. We've just tested out a few key things from that point of view. Tom, did your time in the police force and the teaching profession kind of serve you well in terms of coming up with becoming a quiz master in recent times?
Well, it certainly did, because particularly in the police service, you come across all sorts of situations, meet all sorts of people, and it gave me an insight into lots of different situations. And it hasn't been too much of a struggle for me to write this book and the second book. If I decide to do a third one, it'd probably get harder and harder.
Originally born in Gainsborough, of course, police officer for 30 years. So you went from school teaching into the police force. Why was that? Because normally it's the reverse situation. You could do the police force and then become a school teacher.
Well, my father was a school teacher, and he encouraged me to go into the teaching profession. And it seemed the natural thing to do at the time. But after 5 years, I enjoyed teaching. But after 5 years, my personal circumstances changed. And I'd always had an interest in the police, so I applied and they accepted me.
And obviously I need to ask the question, any relation to Colin, as in Colin Bell, Tom Bell? Sorry, just had to throw
Ian.
No, there are lots of bells about.
Exactly, but, they go ding-dong all over the way now, it's a classic. Tom's Crazy Quirky Quizzes, I never get the title right. Tom, would you like to tell us exactly what the quiz book is entitled so people know how to actually go out and purchase it either online or from their bookstore? It is, of course, entitled...
It's called Tom's Crazy Quirky Quizzes. All the last three words are spelt with a K.
Exactly.
Which I just came out of my head, and I thought it would be it would stand out on the bookshelves and look quite appealing and different to the norm, really.
It's crazy and quirky, and it's by Tom. It's fantastic. It's quizzes. Thank you for joining us on the morning today, Tom, on the morning show. I'm sure we'll speak again in the very near future. Hopefully we might see you in the studio. You can actually throw in some questions directly to the whole system. A round of applause for Tom Bell.
Just before you disappear, I have been invited by Waterstones Bookstore in Boston to a book signing evening on Thursday the 23rd of April at 7 o'clock.
St. George's Day and the chance to actually meet Tom Bell, Waterstones in Boston. Fantastic stuff.
And we are hoping to hold a quiz that night and also have some quiz sheets available, and no doubt there will be some prizes for the winners.
I think we should get a dual act between yourself and John Wenham together to do sort of a quiz head-to-head. John Wenham on the one hand and yourself, Tom Bell, for the other. It'd be phenomenal, quite phenomenal. Tom, speak soon. Take care now.
Thank you very much.
I've asked the question time and time again. Why is there so little love among men? Of what is life? How do you
Dave Milling's child, who actually said we'd like to have some Kitty Decides. So you'll get some of that on the breakfast show tomorrow morning, plus a whole heap of other fantastic things put together by Siren Breakfast on the Good Friday Breakfast with Dave and Ken, or Ken and Dave, as opposed to Dave and Barbie. But anyway, that's the thing entirely. Later on today, Live and Local comes live and local from 11 o'clock through to 1 p.m. And then Jake Bray is on between 1 and 3. Jared, was the journey from Newark worthwhile?
It was worth every second, Alex.
Excellent.
It's been wonderful.
Very good. And Sue, did you enjoy the last... hour of the programme.
I certainly did, yes. I'm pleased I dropped in when I did, yes.
Always good, always a pleasure from that point of view. Don't forget tomorrow morning as well, Geoff Thompson's Good Friday Morning, if you thought you'd get through a day with that. GT, no, it's all right. He's on tomorrow morning between 10 and 12, where we will be having a special launch of the Brayford Bell with Ed Wellman. Probably helping with the launch or something. Anyway, doing great sort of time then. Thanks to Katrina Lakin, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Rosemary Smith, Emma Tinson, William Sitwell, Tom Bell and Louise Hazel, and you, dear listener. And thanks to Jerry Johnson and Sue Royce as well. That's it. We're out of here. Have a splendid Easter period and holiday. We shall be back for Wednesday's Midweek Drive with Captain Cobbler, Ilana Rain, Los Angeles, Nashville and so on. That's 5 o'clock next Wednesday. Jerry, are you coming back next Thursday?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Sue, we'll see you on Wednesday. And
yes,
and on.
I shall see what I can
That's
do.
That's it. Right. Would you like to say bye-bye then?
Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye. If your night is dark.